Blog Talk Radio.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show. Real talk. We are back. It is Monday, October 1st, 2012. TM Hyman Radio Live. Tonight, the crew's back and we're discussing American families, the new normal. Now, when I grew up, you know, I was very fixated on what is the nuclear family. You thinking that it's all about mom, dad, the kids, the dog, the picket fence. You know, you eat dinner together, you go to service on Sunday together. Hey, the American family has changed dramatically. The conversation tonight with the entire team back, it's going to be a power-packed show with our special guest tonight, Executive Director Titania Lamb of the Tampa Bay Academy of Hope and Pastor Michael Williams, Michael L. Williams Ministries. Join us tonight to discuss American families, the new normal. We got Toya, we got CeeLo, we got Dee Dee in the house. I'm coming to you live tonight from Tampa, Florida. Jump on it if you want to get in and be a part of this conversation. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. We are back at them. It's Money Monday. Let's jump right to it. Hey, this is Elevator, Winston Warrior. We'll be right back. TM Hyman Radio Live.
Oh, my level.
Inside this Money Monday, October 1st, 2012, you are inside Money Monday. We are back, the entire crew's back. Tonight we're talking about American families, the new normal. Before we go any further, got to welcome the crew all the way live from Newark, Delaware. Give it up for Toya. Welcome to the show. What up, what up?
Hey, hey, hey. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Hey, glad to be back here all the way live from Charlotte, North Carolina. Give it up for CEO. Welcome back to the show.
Good afternoon in the morning time, people. It is truly a pleasure to be back. Yes.
Hey,
yes,
no doubt. It is 9:07 here on the East Coast, 7:07 on the West Coast. You're in tune to TM Amen Radio Live. Our special guest tonight, let's just jump right to it. She is coming out of Lakeland, Florida tonight. Give it up for Miss Titania Lamb. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Am I supposed to say something now?
Go ahead, and I just introduced you, so that all you have to say is hello. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
Thanks for hanging out with
you.
Us tonight. I know you're a busy lady. Thanks for hanging out. Coming live out of St. Petersburg, Florida tonight, give it up for Pastor Michael L. Williams. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, and hello once again, everyone. I'm excited about being on the show tonight and being a part of this discussion. I feel like it's very impacting, and it's something that we really do need to talk about.
Hey, absolutely. So let's just jump right to it. Again, if you want to be a part of the conversation tonight, friends, we got folks listening all over the world. Jump on it, 917-889-3926. American families, the new normal, that's the topic. Wow, I think when we all think of our families, although I think we used to be able to define family real easy. There were, you know, I think when I was coming up in school, I was introduced to extended families and blended families versus the nuclear family. I think those were the three families that we focused on, you know, when I was coming up, you know, nuclear, blended, extended. I think as time progressed, we started experiencing the single parent family. And now I think we experience the gay family more than ever. What is the new normal? I think there are even families in which, you know, kids are raising themselves, and they kind of cohabitate together. There are kids that live on the street now. They would call themselves family. There are foster homes that are family. I mean, I'm going to start really with Ms. Lamb. Who deals with kids and you know, folks in our penal system. You do a nurturing families class at the academy. Can you define family anymore? There is no normal, I think. I think, you know, tradition has gone out the door when you think of nuclear. How do you define family in 2012?
Having grown up in a blended family, I should say, and like you, I came from the background of what we perceive as normal, and I don't necessarily think the normal family nucleus has changed. When I say change, I mean our definition of it has not changed. However, what we see and what we deal with for the youth that we work with, their norm is different from what most people think normal is. And so I don't know, during the nurturing parenting classes, it's all about teaching families what normal should be. And so I don't necessarily think that the definitions have changed as much as how people live has changed, and what becomes the new normal, I guess, is the way that people live currently.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think my definition has changed on what a normal family nucleus would be. However, the world we live in says that people live differently, and we perhaps have to teach what norms should be.
Well, I guess that's probably going to be the million-dollar question tonight. You know, what is the norm? Is there a norm? You know, I think we all can kind of round table and give our all of different give different perspectives on probably what type of family we were raised in or how we define family. But Pastor Michael, is there a norm when you think of American families?
I would say no, there isn't a norm as of right now. Speaking to my situation, being brought up in a home wherein I had a single mom, and we were actually raised in my grandparents' home. I saw my grandparents as what we would have considered having a traditional family of a husband, a wife, and of course they had kids and the family was extended from there. We were also influenced by the Bible and that biblical portrait of family, that there was to be a man, a woman. God created man, then he created woman, and then he told them to be fruitful and multiply. So oftentimes, as we now say, a normal, I believe that that's what we're thinking of, but in so many different contexts, that is not the case. When you have those components living together, I would say in order for there to be a family, you know, especially from a mother-father standpoint, say someone had to play their part in providing, you know, those the father and the mother in order for a family to come about. But as it relates to living together, staying together, forming a nucleus, that's not the case for so many different contexts. And then, of course, as you brought in earlier, that now with the gay community becoming involved and wanting to create family. And even before I deal with that, as you were speaking at the beginning of this program, if you look up definitions of families, you know, it starts with, you know, in dictionaries today don't really want to use the language that suggests there has to be a father, a mother. They talk about a social unit, if you will. And I believe that is, of course, using safe language. And as you go down and look at the other definitions, it mentions any groupings, anything that you group together can ultimately be considered a family. And I believe that is what persons, of course, in the gay community are looking at. We come together and we love one another. We create this circle of love, and that's what we consider a family to be, and not having all of those traditional and biblical components to make family. They feel that if love is involved and we love all the persons that are involved, then we are just as much a family as those who may be considered more of a traditional family.
Mm-hmm. See, LaToya, did you come from a traditional family? Was it an extended family, a blended family?
Well, I was, this is CeeLo. I actually came from, like, the being raised by the village. It's kind of, I wouldn't even say
okay.
A blended family. I would.
So you were raised by the community. You were in a community family.
yeah, you know, so a lot of beautiful people, you know, took the time to, coordinate with each other and made sure that I was all right. So, But, I mean, that's the era that we come from, you know, where you're outside and you do something wrong, your neighbor beats you, wait till your mama gets home and then tell her so you can get your beating. You know, that that whole deal.
Right. Oh, yeah, how about you?
First, let me apologize for the background noise. But I come from a traditional family, mother and father, raised in church, my sister and I. We didn't have a blended family, no steps. Mother, stepfather, stepbrothers and sisters. We came from what I consider a traditional family. Mother, father in church, deacon and deaconess and that's all that I know as far as the family is concerned.
Right. And so something over the years broke down. The family structure as we knew it, that traditional nuclear family, there's been a breakdown coming from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s, fast forward into 2012. You know, and I'd like to think, you know, being fair to the moms and dads all over the world, I think career shifted. You know, we went from a lot of stay-at-home moms back in the day, you know, to empowered women, education, you know, shifted. I think income shifted for women. The expectation for women shifted. And in turn, you know, the family started to shift. The structure started to shift. Not to mention, you know, our dads and our fathers being incarcerated. You know, I think hands down, you know, men represent about 93% of, you know, all inmates in the U.S. prison population. Women only represent 7%. When we come back, what happened? What caused the family to shift? If you want to weigh in, hit us up, 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Tonight we're talking about American families, the new normal. What is normal? How do you define family? We'll be right back right after this. It's 918.
Okay, look, Ma, I can't change what I are. I let her drop the roof on the Maserati with two girls in the coupe that love a menage. Laid up, Ritz-Carlton, getting massage. I let her hit the street in that chromed out car. Hit the nightclub post at that bar. Smoke in the air till I float on Mars. Hit an endless highway, coast to the barge. If you a rider, let's float to Mars. And I'ma bring you closer to the stars. But baby girl, yeah, you know I love the street life. I'm probably hugging the corner under the street light. I'm probably in the club doing what he like. And he like to be free. And he like beautiful women around here. Women in South Beach, the women in Cali. Come on. I do what I love, this is natural. Let's think rational. Should I fight my desires until I'm up in the casket, yo? Well, if you're asking, no, that's why I'm in the party. Can't see, I'm high through the cardies. I love the night light, the bright lights. Brown skin, waist trim, she my night wife, yeah. Okay, and maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I should be living how they telling me, baby. But why they don't pay me? I'm cakey, they think they living the fast life until they race me, yeah. In the city so electric. I can't fight the connection. Let me put it in perspective. Come on. It's the closest feeling to heaven. It's real. Baby, I was born to shine. It's only natural to live my life. Live my life. Yeah, okay. Baby, I was born to glide. Baby, I was born to fly. It's only natural to live my life. Live my life. Now let's live.
The Liam Hyman Radio Live, and that was natural. And I want to go ahead and get a caller in. Let's see. Let's go with the caller with the area code 813, last four, 5820. What's your name? And just tell us what's on your mind. What would you like to share?
Okay, moving right along. How about area code 813, last four digits, 8996? Tell us your name when you're calling from.
This is Pastor Michael.
Okay, you're back. Somehow we got the line messed up here. Pastor Mike, before we went to break, we were talking about the breakdown in the family structure.
Yes.
Where did it really start to go downhill? For me, again, I kind of grew up in between the 80s and the 90s. That was prime time for me. You know, I remember President Ronald Reagan. I remember George Bush. You know, that's when things started to really, I think, change. What happened?
Well, I would say I can't put my finger exactly on where the breakdown happened, but I believe I can speak to why it continues to happen. Not just in the United States, perhaps in most places across the globe, we find more of a patriarchal system wherein there is a father in place. And I believe that a lot of the breakdown started and continues to happen because of a lack of fathers that are in place. With the fathers being out of place, of course, someone has to step into that role and fill that void. And oftentimes the mother has to step up into that role and start taking on the responsibilities that a traditional father, if you will, would provide as being, of course, the provider, main provider, protector, disciplinarian. And that's a tremendous weight to put on one person. Especially when you are raising kids, so with a lot of the fathers being absent, and then someone else having to not only fulfill their traditional role, again, I'm saying, you know, putting that in quotation marks, of course, filling their traditional role and have to fulfill that other role and that void that has been left, it becomes extremely difficult, and it begins to break down the family. It's very interesting that Sigmund Freud, in him talking about how we create God in our minds, he even states that God, to a whole lot of people, is someone that we create because of something that was not provided by our fathers. Or if our fathers were absent, we superimpose that on a deity. Not that I necessarily would agree with that, but I added that because here is someone who was a psychoanalyst who felt that role, that fatherly role, was so important that if we don't receive what a father would give, or if that father is absent, it affects and impacts us so much that we create it and seek it out some kind of way. You know, so I'm putting it out there, stating that is where I believe the breakdown begins, and of course it is continually perpetuated with the absence of fathers, or even if the father is present and does not fulfill his role, you find a breakdown, a major breakdown within the family structure.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Lamb, how do you respond to that? Would you agree That's a lack? I don't think anyone could disagree that the lack of fathers is a problem in the household, but as it relates to the breakdown of the family, what do you think the train went off the track?
I will agree with that. The essential part of any family unit is always the head, which would be the father. So without the father, when you start removing fathers from home, that goes back to old slavery days. When you remove the father from the home, then you break the family. So, I mean, I'll agree with that. And we see it constantly in the youth that we work with, that because of lack of fathers, because, I mean, interesting to me is that so many of the students that we work with point to the father being missing out of their home. Their behavior is directly affected because there's no father in the household. When you have the mom, and I have to say that mom being taken out of the household and having to work full-time and not there to devote the time to the children, I mean, has an effect on the household as well. So in both cases, you're pulling parents out, and you mentioned the fact that children are raising themselves. They're just not getting the attention and the time that's needed. So you do not have what would be essential, a family unit. There's a reason that that God provided and said that there should be a mother and a father in a household, and that there should be an order of ship in a household. Because children get something from each of their parents. Girls definitely need their fathers to tell them what kind of man they should marry. Boys need their fathers because it takes a man to turn a boy into a man. So I agree totally with what the pastor is saying when he says by removing the father from the household, you kind of harmed the family unit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, what I'd like to say is, like, I think the breakdown happened because as we evolved as human beings and the population grew and the opportunities changed and the land opened up, and then the, you know, it used to be where, you know, back in the days when it was a tradition to get married, where, you know, women had to get married at, you know, 19, or if they were single at 21, they were an old maid. But in this day and time, getting married at, you know, 21 is looked up, is shunned. You know,
yes.
It's not the same. But then I think this generation that we have now that are like the parents now that, like, you know, mid-30s, 40s, they're the latchkey kids. And their children are, you know, how the children act are the result of the latchkey kids. Because kids that were grown, you know, that had to take care of themselves or, you know, had to look after brothers and sisters when we were younger, they have children now that they hope that they just learn how to, you know, learn how to raise themselves, do like they did, you know. I mean, it's perpetuated.
And absolutely. I think that the circumstances that we face today has brought about the result. I think what you're speaking of is the end result. You know, but when you think of family, you know, I want to identify, you know, is there a difference in our mind between a relative versus a family member? Because I think as the family has changed, relationships has changed. And, you know, everybody that we're close to is our cousin. Or in some instances, you know, some of our best friends are our brothers, or they're our sisters, because we relate to them as a family member. Is there a difference between a relative and a family member?
Most definitely. Most definitely there's a difference, because some people regard their, like you were saying, you know, you have the best friend that's your brother or sister. They were, you know, they may share something with that person that they would never tell a relative. You know, sometimes it seems like most people trust their friends outside of trusting their family these days, the actual blood relative. So, you know, again, I told somebody the other day, I said, you know, neighbors aren't like they used to be. People don't get involved as much as they used to. You know, they're children who walk up and down the street by themselves when the street light's on, and nobody says anything. People don't get involved anymore.
You people
know, it's
want to mind their business. It's a different day. It's a different time. People will pull out a weapon on you. But I think we've lost that sense of community. You know, people are more fearful today than ever before. And I think fear is something that, that's a completely different topic. Let's do this. Let's take a pause. We'll come right back. What I want to drill down on is when you think of, we talked about the breakdown in the family. We've talked about a relative versus a family member. But what happens when mom and dad just aren't there? Or what happens when mom or dad are there, but they still don't meet your expectations of what family really should be? We're going to talk about that. What are the expectations of a family? And we'll continue to talk about a relative versus a family member. You are in tune to TMI and Radio Live, 917-889-3926, 917-889-3926. We'll be right back.
Ego on swole, money obese, Bentley on spur, girls on me. Them boys what it is, I'm what it's gonna be. You staring at the future, ESP. The space starts deep, so the tag gon' be high. Bottles on deck, make your baby say ah. Standing on your couches, screaming we up in this. Go for the night, it's I ain't trying to remember. Stumbling my sentences, telling chicks they haven't seen. From the look I estimate, I'm indefinite. Miles make the best of it, bring your friend too. And y'all can share this deep, cause that's what friends do. Alcohol sparkles all the time. You ain't shining in the club cause your table next to mine. And it's the type of attitude that get them all the time. Cause they all love a young getting in shine.
Yeah, I can make you.
I can make you fall in love with me.
Girl, you know that I can make you.
I can make you
I can't tell with all of these girlies on me. I'm so turned up, shirt off, showing off tattoos. Every single last one they want to read. Bring her, that's my call.
Popping bottles in the club,
that's my call.
Making bottles fall in love,
that's my call. And the party don't stop. I spend this money, grab some juices, and I'm out. Cause take a big stop sweating, man. Take a big stop sweating. Take a big stop sweating me. We don't do the ball, VIP escort. We don't hear y'all. Say it with your chest more. Supposed to be hard. What you need a vest for? Get his head, tear your motherfucking chest off. Why every hating ass always gotta make it something? And this shit be over nothing. Swear you motherfucking something. So I come with the assumption. Reason you huffing and puffing. Cause the chick that you be loving be on my dick and she cuffing. She should give me $20. Give me $20. Can't see I'm the truth or just your motherfucking eyelids. Excuse me, little nigga, but this section here private. Now take your fly ass out my muff cockpit. Only room for space stars and couple bags. And we ain't got no time for a bunch of men. Man, just give up your female. Save me all the details. You ain't trying to lose, nigga. You
yeah,
ain't acting like
you
feel.
I can make you fall in love.
I can't tell with all of these girlies on me. I'm so turned up, shirt off, showing off tattoos. Every single last one they want to read. Bring her, that's my call.
Popping bottles in the club,
that's my call.
Making models fall in love,
that's my call. And the party don't stop. I spend this money, grab some deuces, and I'm out. Cause take a big stop sweating me. Take a big stop sweating me. Take a big stop sweating me.
Ferrari fame, the fame way. Copyright to them over there hating. Hey man, cause one coin leads to one coin, and then that coin leads to another coin. Next thing you know, we all coining in this. Face off.
P.M. Hyman, Radio Live. Welcome back to the show. It's 8:37 in New Orleans. It's 9:37 in NYC. We are talking tonight about American families, the new normal. I can tell you this. When I think of my family, which really is really unique when I talk to people about their families and their backgrounds and their experiences, my grandparents had 9 kids. You know, so my mother was one of 9 who's a twin. And so, you know, there's a lot of us. I'm used to a lot of people. I'm used to dinner around the table. I'm used to Thanksgiving, large, you know, family reunions, Christmas, you know, just family. Everyone can't relate to that. And so what happens when you really don't have an expectation of what family is, or you've never experienced it, or family as you know it really treats you like you're someone in the street? For me, when I think of family, I think of expectations. Does anyone disagree? Do you have expectations of your family, or what you know you expect from your family versus someone you know that might just be a friend or an associate?
No. No, I think I would
no.
Yeah, you say no? I say CEO says no. I don't have any expectations of my family members or any other human beings for that matter, because people, you know, people are people, you know, and blood has nothing to do with it. It's,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, I respect that. I would have to say I beg you. For me, I have expectations of my family, but I'll let others speak before, you know, before I share.
Right.
Well, of course, I believe that's very subjective, of course. It depends upon that individual. I would oftentimes hear people say blood is thicker than water.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also add to that, but water can thin it out.
Exactly.
So, you know, with me, I raise the question, whose opinion what person have you empowered so that their opinion matters? Because you can have family, but you may not have empowered any family member to hold any level of influence over you, your thoughts or your actions, but you can empower friends and associates, you know, in that manner. So I believe that's very subjective. You know, we can have all these different components of family, but if you don't empower them or their opinion or their influence, then, of course, those different positions and components don't matter. Me being a father of 2 girls, of course, have been with them and influenced in their life from day one. One of the things that frightens me, my oldest daughter is now a teenager, is that I know right now nobody loves her more than I do, not anybody. But I also know that she can empower others and their opinions over my advice and care, concern, and counsel. So that's something that frightens me, you know. But I know that it can happen. Even though she loves her dad, she can meet other people at the age of 14 and in school or whatever and empower their opinion over mine.
Mm-hmm. No, I definitely agree with the fact that, you know, it's subjective and it depends. I think it's a case by case. But go ahead, CeeLo.
Oh, yeah, because I was just going to really expound on what Pastor Williams was saying, as far as even though he may be that strong, you know, father figure for his daughter, she's still going to take some of her friends', you know, advice over her father's, just for the simple fact that, you know, I think we all look at our parents like that. Oh, they're just telling us that because they care about us, or they don't want us to have any fun, or, you know, whatever.
Yes.
But, you know, but it's like that's also a cycle, you know, and I think that's part of a life cycle, because we, as,
you know, children didn't understand our parents' decisions or even honor them, really, until we got older, either got children of our own or responsibilities, you know, that showed us why our parents made decisions that they made, you know. So I think that changes our objectivity as well.
No, absolutely. I think at the end of the day, you know, no one was asked to be in this world. You know, we were, you know, conceived by, you know, whatever means, and we were born to parents. And it's my opinion that, you know, it's really parents' responsibility to make sure that a child develops, grows, and is nurtured, you know, to good health. It's just their responsibility. It doesn't always happen, and when it doesn't happen, I believe that's when family, whatever that family structure is, because, again, there are many different types, it's up to family to continue to help one grow, develop, and make sure they're nurtured to good health. I think I was empowered. I was empowered young by my family, not just my mother and my father, but my family. And I'm thinking maybe the extended family as well as the blended family. But right. My expectation of my family is that, you know, they'll always be honest with me, you know, that they will bring correction to me, that they'll love me, they'll support me, that they'll protect me. That's just my expectation for my family. And so it's interesting to me that everyone doesn't feel that way, but I totally understand that, as Pastor Michael said, it's subjective because it's based on one's experience. And if people aren't empowered in a relationship, that relationship even being with family members, or really at the end of the day, it's relatives, because we're connected by blood, but they really aren't acting like family. They really aren't showing you the love that, to me, a family is supposed to provide. So, you know, my expectation is high regarding my family because I hold my family in high regard. You know, and so I think that's why it's important that we open up our minds and understand that there are so many different types of families.
But you put that expectation on them, but how do you hold them accountable to that?
Right.
To those expectations.
I'm not sure I do hold them accountable. It's just something that I've always expected because I've always gotten it. Disappointed. I don't think I'm disappointed when it doesn't happen because I think I'm independent, one, and, you know, they've taught me to be able to fend, but I'm not sure I hold them accountable. It's just an expectation. But that's a good question.
But it's an expectation that you were taught. It's not something that you can hold your family accountable for. Every family has their rules and has their expectations of the family unit. And once you define what your family unit is and once you define those expectations, it's something he was raised with, that my family supports me and loves me and cares about me and is going to watch out for me. So my expectation then grows on that reliability. It's not you were born in with this expectation, because if that was his norm, then that's what he expects. So it's not a matter of holding them accountable for it. The expectation is there because that's what he's received.
That was what I wanted to be pulled out of that, because I'm sure persons would hear that and would say, well, I can't put those expectations on my family. You know, so I wanted that accountability piece to at least be addressed in that, mm-hmm. because that's not everybody's experience. Not everyone was birthed into that type of family when those expectations were articulated or defined for them.
No, absolutely. And I think, you know, going into the second hour, it's 9:46, everybody. I'm coming to you live out of Tampa, Florida tonight. We have Pastor Michael L. Williams coming live out of St. Pete, Michael L. Williams Ministries, Titania Lamb, Executive Director of Tampa Bay Academy of Hope, out of Lakeland tonight. We got CeeLo live out of Charlotte, North Carolina, Toya live out of Newark, Delaware, and the world is listening. We're talking about the new normal. And in the second hour, we want to talk a little bit more about nurturing versus unnurturing. How important being nurtured in a family is and how it impacts you overall, and just the opposite. When you have not received what's deemed as the proper nurturing and how it has impacted you. I went to a 3-day training session recently on nurturing families, and I had gone through a nurturing fathers training prior to that, and it was eye-opening. When you think of why you do some of the things you do as an adult, and why you really can't figure it out or you can't explain it, and you've just accepted the fact that it's just you. I've come to understand that it's not, yes, it's just you, but it's a result of something that either happened or did not happen when you were in development mode, as you were being nurtured.
Right.
When we come back, we will talk more about nurturing. Were you nurtured in your family? Would you consider yourself nurtured? And then we'll talk further about what I think is a taboo topic. Nurturing fathers. Is the concept of a nurturing father a rarity? Let's discuss it. 917-889-3926. 917-889-3926. Boston, far away. See you, Mama.
Yeah. Everybody in this world is God's property, though I saw myself as a victim of hypocrisy. Never been labeled as a menace to society, but society was the menace to the very pride. As a child, I didn't know to take the right steps. Preacher looked in my eyes and said, it's just a test. I could look at my father and tell that he was blessed, cause my dad was conceived at his mother's last breath. Thinking, how am I so selfish to go sin again? Everyone around me drinking and they smoking, man. I can't take this peer pressure, I can't hold it in. So I grab that red cup and then I pour that gin. Every time I go to God asking for forgiveness, every time I step in the church as a white or Christian, I see myself at the party with the Ciroc I'm sipping, hurting because it's hypocritical way I'm living. It seems I only give thanks to him on the best of days. I never wanted my faith in God to be just a phase, and when I'm on the right track, I get led astray. Sometimes I see the sight of heaven is so far away. My mother told me, don't just judge a girl by her appearance. Look for intelligence and a godly spirit. Relationships without the Lord ain't gon' last long. Thinking to myself, she probably heard this on a sad song. I met this girl up in the church and we really connected. Every thought I had of her just left me so breathless. Night after night, texting became perpetual. Getting a little sexual and now I'm about to test the rules. This was supposed to be the girl that I wait for. Instead, we in the bed, she asked me, can I take more? I got up out the bed and grabbed my stuff and left. Feeling lost of emotions, but a gain of regrets. And now, every time I go to God asking for forgiveness, every time I step in the church as a rightful Christian, I see myself at the party with the Ciroc I'm sipping, hurting because it's hypocritical way I'm living. It seems I only give thanks to him on the best of days. Never wanted my faith in God to be just a phase, but when I'm on the right track, I get led astray. Sometimes I see the sight of heaven is so far away. The book that no one ever wants to read is Revelation, because it talks of God's wrath and the beast of Satan. But that's my motivation to why I keep going. Even though my bars are secular, I keep flowing. till I turn my lust to love, to my face above, to the only God I trust. And I don't want the fame and the cheddar, I just want the strength and the will just to live better, man. Every time I go to God asking for forgiveness, every time I step in the church as a rightful Christian, I see myself at the party witness to rock and flipping, hurting because it's hypocritical way of living. And sees I only give thanks to him on my best of days, never wanted my faith in God to be just a phase. And when I'm on the right track, I get led astray. Sometimes I see the light of heaven, it's so far away. Yes. I don't even know if y'all got that, man. Just listen, son. All you gotta do is listen. Every time I go to God asking for forgiveness, every time I step in the church as a rightful Christian, I see myself at the party with the Ciroc and sipping, hurting because it's hypocritical way of living. It seems I only talk right.
Like, really, what is the new normal? Like,
you have, like we were speaking of, where you have gay families raising children of different ethnicities.
I think you're seeing that more and more and more and more and more every day. You got the Modern Family that's all over TV. They've won some Emmys here recently. Now you literally have a show called The New Normal on NBC. NeNe Leakes with the racist, bigoted grandmother. And that show is literally about, you know, two gay guys getting a surrogate Caucasian woman to have a baby for them. And
right.
The name of the show is called The New Normal. But that's a good question. What is normal? I don't think we can put our finger on what's normal. But I think as the family structure has broke down over the years, I think media has been a major, major influence on our psyches and what we see. And we think that it's okay. Everybody's doing it. But before we took a break, I was talking about being nurtured versus not being nurtured. I think the philosophy surrounding a nurturing parent is important. People tend to do what they know how to do. And if you weren't raised in a nurturing household, 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be a nurturing parent yourself. I think I was nurtured. I think I grew up understanding that family was important. I grew up, as Ms. Lamb stated, I grew up feeling love, knowing what love was, knowing what protection was. I think in some instances I was too guarded. But my mom put a lot of responsibility on me because she was a working mom. So my perspective is completely different from a lot of others, even my colleagues and my friends. I have friends that absolutely couldn't relate, you know, to my family environment. Again, I grew up around a lot of people. So family was significant to me, and I understand family as a lot of people. But there are people who were the only child in family, and so their experience as it relates to family is completely different. But Cee-Lo, would you say you were raised in a nurturing family?
Not so much nurturing. Protective, but not nurturing.
Okay, and there's a difference.
Yeah.
Ms. Lamb, would you say you were raised in a nurturing family? Ms. Lamb? Maybe Ms. Lamb.
I was raised in a nurturing family. A very protective family, maybe a little overprotective at times, but with very clear guidelines on what the expectations and the rules were, but at the same time, very nurturing in that they were explained to me and that the actual discipline, which means learning, was in place.
Pastor Michael, how about yourself?
Yes, I definitely feel that I was raised in a nurturing environment, even though it may not have been the traditional nuclear family setting. There was extended family there, and because it was my grandparents' house and home, there was a lot more extended family that I was continually surrounded by. But it was very nurturing. I look back in hindsight, I would say it was incredibly strict. But if you are coming up in your grandparents' home, I was exposed to some old-fashioned values. So, yeah, it was very nurturing as well.
Yeah. Toya, how about yourself? Would you say you were raised in a nurturing home?
Very nurturing, very overprotective.
So we can relate to the overprotective piece. And I want to define nurturing for those who may be wondering, well, what does that mean? It simply means, one, to nurture it's an action word. It's a verb. You got to do something. You have to care for and encourage the strength or development, overall. It's to cherish, And I think with nurturing comes, a building up of self-worth. In children, You know, when you nurture a child, you help them to understand their feelings. You know, someone mentioned earlier, I think it was Ms. Lamb, you know, that families establish rules. It's understanding and developing family morals, values, and rules. You know, it's praising your child as well as, you know, providing the discipline. It's that praise that's important. And the different stages to growth, seeing the various stages through to adulthood, that's really what nurturing is about. And at the end of the day, I don't think a lot of people can really relate to the nurturing piece. What's the significance of it? Well, hands down, nurturing just promotes brain development, discipline, you know, building empathy. I mentioned self-worth, you know, in an individual. One thing that I was a little surprised by, and not really surprised, with the sessions that I went through with nurturing parents, was the fact that there's a population of people who really believe in disciplining their children with no spanking. You know, it's called alternatives to spanking. And it's just like no discipline, no physical discipline at all. Now, clearly, it's a different approach compared to what most of us can relate to. When I say most of us, probably most of us on this call. if we were ever hit, it was the doctor's perspective that if we were ever hit for any reason, we had been abused. Pastor Michael, can you see yourself coming up, never having, but first of all, let me ask you this. Had you ever been hit? Spank, beat, any of that?
All of the above.
And
I never saw it as abuse, and I know it is seen that way now. But I guess because I saw it before it even took place, before it even happened to me. We talk about expectations. If I did wrong in the environment that I came up in, that was almost an expectation. You know, so and again, with that old-fashioned and traditional at that time views, it was so much of an expectation. Even if, especially my grandmother hinted towards it, I started crying immediately.
Right.
Because I was like, let me go ahead and get the crying out of the way because I know it's coming. yes, because you were not going to make a lie out of her. And she says, I'm going to beat you or I'm going to get you after this call. Oh, I started crying immediately.
Right. You knew it was coming, right.
It was coming. It was guaranteed.
Right.
Yes.
Ms. Lamb, can you relate to being abused as a child? Were you ever spanked or beat? If
you're
talking, we can't hear you.
Right. Okay.
All right. Tilo, how about yourself? Can you relate to being spanked or beat as a child?
I got beat every day except for one year. I'm telling you, my beating stopped when I was 5 because I got the hint. I swear, and it's like one of those, I had an epiphany. Like I was walking through the house, and I just stopped for a minute and said, hey, I haven't gotten a beating in a while. I used to get beatings every day for doing something.
Something kicked in. I just thought it was interesting that, again, clearly those in other cultures, they handle discipline a little different. I think it's just a reflex for, you know, a lot of our parents. But as I started to really drill down mentally on what they were talking about, I think for how a lot of African-American parents raise their children, it's not just about the situation. The discipline went much deeper than just the surface. You know, they were trying to, I think, condition us, prepare us, you know, not to go out in the streets and act a fool, because it would be greater. It would be, you know, more impactful to have someone discipline you in the street. So let me help you understand today. So I think it was much greater, and some, you know, cultures and people just may not be able to relate to that. Although I think in some instances the discipline, it is child abuse, you know, right, to a certain degree. And so by no means am I promoting abuse, but I do understand, you know, that sometimes physical discipline is necessary when you done, quote unquote, tried your parent.
I mean, I think it was a fine line between discipline, and some people took it too far and went to break spirit. You know, because
right,
I know some children who, if they're beat too much, it'll break their spirit, and that causes a, you know, their self-esteem issues. You
yeah,
know, where they feel like they're never good enough. I mean, so it depends, because I'll see where someone may correct the child or pop them or hit them or whatever, or even just say something to them and just maybe say stop, or, you know, but never tell them why, or, you know, what the repercussion of it could be if they continue. You know, I mean, I think also that in the African-American culture, it was more so almost passed down, because that's how ancestors were treated.
Well, I mean, it was the whole concept of instilling fear. Let me instill some fear in you, because you're gonna have to fear somebody. You're gonna have to fear God, and you have to fear me.
Right.
I think that's you know, that was the attitude of our parents, and I think you're right when it comes down to breaking spirits. I think to be fearful of someone, and ultimately to understand accountability is one thing, but to be fearful of someone, to literally be scared of them and everything about them, that's a completely different situation. Just shifting the dialogue a little bit to the idea of nurturing fathers. Pastor Michael is a father. He speaks of his children often. Pastor Michael, do you think the concept of a nurturing father, or this really is a question to the panel, but because you are a father, is that a rarity? Is that taboo to refer to a father as nurturing?
It has become that way in many different contexts. You know, with the father, in many cases, is seen as the disciplinarian and a strong disciplinarian, especially as a father relates to his son. He wants to teach his son to be tough and hard in many cases. So to be seen as a nurturing father is somewhat taboo, and I'm going to use this term, sissified.
Mm-hmm.
Me, of course, I have two daughters. I don't have a son. Speaking of my experience, my firstborn child, name is Micah Williams, affectionately known as Coco, was born on May 26, 1998 at 1:13 p.m. But when they placed her in my hands and I looked into those eyes, it was as if something was, I can't say birthed in me, I became aware of some things in me, to be a protector, a provider, and a nurturer. And I feel that as we talk about nurturing, we nurture with an end in mind. So the nurture that we provide isn't just, you know, us just employing instincts. It's the nurture that I provide, the counsel, the praise, and all that goes along with nurturing, is because I have an end in mind. I want you to be functional I want you to be effective. I want you to make an impact. I want you to be great. I want you to be greater than I am. I want you to accomplish things that I've never accomplished. So I nurture my girls, you know, with that end in mind as well. I nurture you with the end in mind that I don't want anybody to take advantage of you. So yes, definitely, a father should nurture, and it shouldn't be an issue of you seeing yourself as having some type of feminine qualities, because it is oftentimes instilled into men that is a role for a female, to right. nurture, to be the nurturer, to be nurturing, that mothers should be nurturing. And of course, even outside of your biological mom, if there's another female that provides advice and cares about you, we call them mom because we feel that they are being nurturing. But it's very interesting, as you ask this question, me also being a pastor, and a pastor is more of a fatherly role, I am also nurturing as it relates to being a pastor. I see the potential in people, and there's an end that I want them to get to, and they must be nurtured, you know, spiritually. They must be nurtured in scripture, nurtured as it relates to their approach to life. They have to be nurtured in order to get there, and I embrace that role as a pastor as well.
No, that's awesome. When we come back, we're going to talk about that concept all by itself, nurturing. And how do we get more of our fathers to become nurturing? We're going to talk about a program that is working to make that happen at the Tampa Bay Academy of Hope. We'll continue on with Pastor Michael L. Williams, and we'll talk to Ms. Tatiana Lamb a little more in depth about a program that's helping fathers to become a little more nurturing. We'll be right back. This is Raheem Devine.
It's official right now. In 4 minutes or less, we're going to crown all of them right now.
That's Kate,
my mama, your mama,
you,
it's you. Your baby's mama's mama.
Dedicate to you.
Wife,
you.
If you're near a woman right now, wherever you at, turn to him and say,
dedicate.
You are appreciated.
Hey, I appreciate your smile.
Thank you.
And the number to take to carry and birth a child.
Thank you.
And the way you play dumb, even when we're living real bad.
Ooh, thank you.
And even as a single parent, mama, you still hold it down somehow.
Thank you, mama.
Make them ends meet somehow.
Thank you, mama.
I appreciate your strength.
Thank you.
Never bite your lip to say what's on. When it's bedroom time,
thank you.
Come ride with me, roll with me, tell me what's yours is mine.
Hey,
fellas, if you ain't got one, better search the world to find.
Woman, strong woman, strong woman, yeah. Woman, special woman,
ooh,
strong woman.
Ain't nothing better than
woman, strong woman,
nothing better than
woman, strong woman.
Better find you a
woman, special woman.
So emotional.
Thank you.
You know, till you prove your point, you just can't let it go.
But I like that though.
I appreciate so much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like the I love you feeling, girl, when we touch.
Thank you.
Yeah. Like there's no you, no me, and there's no one.
Thank you.
Ooh. And if she ever hears an urgency, she'll come in a rush. A grown woman hook up them home cooked meals. A grown woman do zoos, comp
confidence. Better recognize one when a grown one says, and a grown woman knows how to tell you no. A grown woman knows when to let you go. You can have a big old car and a big old house, but next to God, nothing else amounts to a woman.
Monday night, and it is 10 p.m. on the East Coast and 7:16 p.m. on the West Coast. And we are live. We are with Ms. Lamb, and we have Pastor Michael Williams on with us this evening.
That's right.
Ms. Lamb, thank you for joining us again. My question to you would be, in the generation that we're in now, what do you think, what changes do you think that we can make to help our children prosper, even though a lot of parental units are not in place? How can we help those children, how can we help them make it through so they don't repeat, you know, what happened to them? What steps do you think we should take?
Actually, it's about education. I'm a firm believer that the more knowledge a person has, they can overcome their circumstances. Unfortunately, programs like ours are usually overwhelmed without enough volunteers. I think someone made the comment that they were a community child, and so
right.
that meant that the community nurtured them.
Right.
It used to be when there were single parents, that there was always, if there was a single mother, the husband was gone, there were men amongst the community who would kind of nurture that child, kind of
right.
put him on the right path and tell him to stay out of the streets. And all. That's gone because men who are in the streets now tend to invite the children to the streets with them.
Right.
And so with programs like ours, a lot of things that we do is about taking the child out of the environment that they are currently in. We know we have to give them back to that environment, but if we can show them a different road, a different path, if someone cares enough to give to that child. Because a lot of it is about a lack of caring in the home. The one thing that you guys kept, I heard people kept saying was discipline. And I do not like to think of discipline as punishment because discipline comes from the word disciple, which means I get to follow someone. So what our children lack is the steps of someone to follow behind. They're
right.
so inundated with the environment around them, the poor, the all of the things that are going wrong in our communities, that who rises up for them to follow? So they
right.
need someone to love, to care, to be there. Children thrive in discipline, and the lack of it just leaves me to my own vices.
Right.
So you kind of have to have that. And so some of what we do is about providing structure, about providing discipline, about saying these are the rules and you need to work within those rules.
Right.
Because they lack that at home.
Right. Mm-hmm. And a lot of parents don't like to take, you know, I'll say a lot of parents don't want to be told about their children. And then you also have people who would rather ignore than get involved. And I really have that standpoint of, you know, if you don't get involved, then you're just as guilty as the people that, you know, that started it. You know, I don't think it's fair. But then when we think about life, that isn't either.
Mm-hmm.
But we all have to, you know, be responsible and accountable for our children and those children around us. You know, you don't have to be a blood relative to help a child, by no means.
Yeah, absolutely.
Even mm-hmm.
Absolutely. I think that's a great point you make in reference to the word discipline. And out of discipline, again, is disciple. Because
right.
The disciple, again, is to lead. I think a lot of, I think it's humanistic for people who aren't, you know, wise, who haven't had a lot of experience. It's to, you know, do as I say and not as I do. We don't have enough people leading by example. We don't have enough people focused on discipling even their own children. I think
right.
we left the rearing of our children to this public school system, you know, to do something that ultimately they clearly have failed at. They can't do it. It starts at home.
You know what?
Ma'am, I'd like you to, I'm sorry, go ahead, Cielo.
I was going to just try to, again, expound on something you were just saying. You know, like you just said, a lot of parents leave it up to the school system. I just wanted to make a note that the West Coast school system, they kind of got it, I guess, now, where they're charging students to partake in sports or, you know, any after-school activities, and that kind of combats more than one thing because a lot of parents use after-school, you know, activities or sports and such as babysitting or, you know, or as a drop-off for the kids. And when you got to pay for it, you know, you're not going to just, you know, drop them off. You're going to want to try to get your money, you know, parents want to get their money's worth at that point. So I don't know. I think we should take a lesson from the West Coast and make that nationwide.
Does that make the kids? Because if I have to pay for it and can't afford it, then what happens to my kid? Are they just left at home and they're a latchkey kid now, kind of doing their own thing?
No, because I think they have, and I think they also have like grants. You know, for children that can't, you know, that can't afford it. But, and I see your point, too, where, you know, if I can't afford it, does my kid end up at home? But then think about the parents who really do drop their kids off and could care less what the kids are doing, you know. But if they're paying for it, I mean, I don't know. It, to me, having them pay for it makes them more accountable because they have to get involved. Nobody's just going to just pay, you know, I mean, you might as well pay for a daycare then.
I understand your point. My only concern is usually for the students who cannot, because one of the things that we always say is that we want to provide a safe haven for students, because in their vows and statistics show that during those after-school hours, between the hours of 3 and about 6 is when most kids get into trouble, when most of them present with delinquent behaviors. So that's how after-school programs kind of came out of that, and trying to make sure students were off the streets and not home alone and so forth. So that's my only concern.
Mm-hmm. And we've got to come up with some real solutions to help to deal with the problem of just that, you know, young people getting in trouble, young people demonstrating delinquent behavior. The reality is drug offenses is why most people go to prison. And I think the an idle mind is the devil's workshop.
And Ms. Lamb also mentioned that there's a, we're living in an age where, you know, adults, you know, have no problem dragging kids into, you know, less than favorable situations. That there is no real leadership taking place. And that's why mentors are important. That's why dialogue like this is important. You know, the reality is there are probably, not even probably, I'm going to give you a real statistic. The U.S. Department of Justice reports that there are about 2,300,000 inmates incarcerated in the United States. And with about 5,000 jails and prisons in the U.S., with a whole lot of them here in the state of Florida, if we don't really start to focus on the concept of family again, and specifically nurturing families and fathers, restoring our fathers in our house, our homes, who are nurturing, we're going to continue to see a cycle that's going to continue to decline. Ms. Lamb, you have a program that's called Nurturing Fathers, or actually you have a Nurturing Families program that is specific to fathers. Tell us why that program is so important.
Well, part of the reason, you mentioned that the state of Florida is the second largest, has the second largest prison system in the country. And filled with the prison is, I think you mentioned before, is mostly men and mostly fathers.
93%.
Right. Of those men in prison, so I think the statistic shows that it's about 70% who are actually fathers. And that many fathers are out of the home of our children. Hillsborough County in specific is one of the highest, counties, one of the counties that has the highest rate of inmates returning to the county. And so in addressing, we saw both from the student's perspective, I keep going back to a 10-year-old little girl, Ms. Brenda, who kept saying that she kept getting in trouble in school because she figured eventually they would put her in prison with her father. Had not grown up with her father, hadn't really been in her, the father had never been in her life, but it was that important to her that she felt that emptiness at that young age. So part of what we do is about, of course, recidivism and trying to keep the men out of prison, but the other part of it is, of course, reunification with their children and trying to make sure that they are in their children's lives. So there's kind of a twofold purpose. If the father can attach, if the father and child bond can be reestablished and the father and the child can attach to each other, then perhaps the father will see the need to be there in the child's life, which may in turn keep him out of prison. And at the same time, the child gets the father that they need, which also in turn may keep them out of prison one day. So
yes.
Kind of a twofold purpose in what we're doing.
Well, Ms. Lamb, I have a question for you. What about those parents that, you know, that are incarcerated? Do you think that it is in the child's best interest to have the child, have the children, you know, visit the parents while they're incarcerated? Or do you think that that is too traumatic to involve in a child's life? Or does that depend on, you know, individual?
That is a very hard question, and I think it kind of, in one sense, I can see, because I have a thing with the kids that we work with that I do not do scared straight. We've been asked several times, but part of the reason that I do not do scared straight is because when children visit prison, and especially minority boys visit prison, the chances of them seeing themselves behind bars is very high because
right.
they identify with the person behind bars because guess what? He looks just like me. Skin color is my color, so he looks like me. So I generally do not do those type of programs. However, working with the population that I'm working with and listening to some of the stories makes me say it depends on the family themselves and what how strong the bond is with the child, because we encourage the fathers not to lie to their children, to tell them where they are. We were listening to stories of video and them saying the child didn't even know. Some of the children thought the parent was in at work. Some of them thought they were away for a while and all of that. But children are very nasty and mean from time to time. And I didn't say that, but they can be very cruel. We grew up with everybody picking on them. And I was at a middle school one day and struck that the children were actually looking up whose mom, dad, aunts, cousins had been arrested.
Wow.
So the chances of you finding out are great because they look it up. They know how to go to the website, look it up, and these are middle school. So, you know, to answer your question, though, I think it truly depends on the family, because I'm a father, recounted his story of his four-year-old daughter. He'd never seen her before. And the first time she came there, she just latched right onto him, and he walked and talked with her for hours. So perhaps in that sense, I think when the children are younger like that, it doesn't matter to them. They're just glad to see their parent. I think it becomes an issue when the children are teenagers, because then it becomes more of an embarrassment factor. So I think the parent has to be clear and kind of feel the child out in determining whether or not that's going to be the best situation for that child.
Yes. I would like to speak to that, having been in that situation. My dad was a drug dealer who ultimately landed in the prison system, and I remember coming up just wanting my father. And even as I reached my early 20s, that was all I ever wanted from my father was his presence. So I recall being in that situation that even though he was in the prison system and I had people trying to protect me from that environment, from seeing him in that environment, and I remember getting incredibly upset because I wanted my father. I don't care what environment he's in. If I can just get a few moments with him, if I can see him, my friends had theirs, my cousins, other family members had theirs, regardless of his context, or the context that he was in, regardless of the environment he was in, that's still my father. So I know that that's me. That's an isolated incident. But as I still wanted my father, and people who try to prevent that, in my mind, my mindset at that time, I saw them as like becoming my enemies, and they were trying to keep something from me. Because everybody may not have this mindset, but even though I knew what my dad did, I knew where he landed, it was like he was still my hero. I put him on a pedestal. Not that I wanted to become a drug dealer or do anything wrong, anything violent. As a matter of fact, he told me he would kill me if I did. but I still maintain a certain perspective that this man is my father. And for much of my life, teenage years of the early adulthood, I felt like I was missing out on something, because he was not present in my life, so whatever opportunities presented themselves for me to be around him, I wanted to take advantage of those opportunities. So it may not be in all cases, but in some cases at least, it would be extremely helpful. And to tell you the truth, coming up in the middle to the latter part of the 80s, when the spell of crack cocaine hit, and so many young men, especially in the African American community, were selling crack cocaine. Just those few words from my dad that said, "If you ever do it, and you've seen what it has done to me in my life, I'll kill you." That, more so than anything, is what kept me from selling drugs.
Absolutely. You are in tune to TM Hyman Radio. We're talking about American families tonight. with our special guests, Pastor Michael L. Williams and Tatiana Lamb, Tampa Bay Academy of Hope. We'll be right back, everybody.
Not a second or another minute, not an hour or another day, but at this moment with my arms outstretched, I need you to make a way, as you have done so many times before. Through a window or an open door, I stretch my hands to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. I need you now. Not another minute, not an hour of another day, but Lord, I need you right away. If I never needed you before, to show up and restore all of the faith that I left while I was yet searching the world for more, the truest friend I have indeed. You're my best friend, I know in need. I stretch my hand to thee. Come rescue me, I need you right away. The agony of being alone, fear of
doing things on my own. Smokey, we like you, Smokey. It's 10:39 in the city, coming to you live from Tampa, Florida. T.M. Hammond, welcome to the show. Well, at this point, it's winding down to the end of the show. It is 10:39, coming to you live, again, out of Tampa tonight. Titania Lamb, our special guest, along with Pastor Michael L. Williams, who had to run, but we appreciate him for hanging out and all the good feedback. We got Toya live out of Newark, Delaware. CeeLo live out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Man, the reality is, when we're talking about the prison system and all of that, man, again, 2,300,000 people imprisoned here in the U.S. The United States, hands down, compared to any other country in the world, houses the most prisoners worldwide. The U.S., they're the winner, baby. The Federal Bureau of Prisons report an average age of 39 years old for prisoners. So prisoners on average in the United States are 39. And so, you know, that's pretty crazy. That,
well,
someone,
I mean,
someone would wait so late in their life to want to kind of throw it all away. 39 is still pretty young. And, you know, come on, that's when dad really should be at home being dad. And I'm referring to dads because they are 93% of the prison population. What the? We've got to implement some change. Dads, we need you to go back home. We need you to be more nurturing so that you can rear positive, productive citizens. Go ahead, CEO.
Well, when you were saying, like, about, you know, them being 39, they need to be at home. I mean, a lot of 39-year-olds still think they're 20-something. And
very true.
Dress like the teenagers do, and their pants are sagging, and their hat is turned to the back, which is cool, I guess, to each his own. But it really doesn't teach the kid to grow up any.
And we need some leadership. We need more leadership. We need parents to be parents. We don't need our parents to try to be our friends. I get it. You know, I know a lot of parents don't want to raise their kids the way they feel they were raised. You know, they want to give them things that they didn't feel they had.
Right.
You know, but at the same time, it's about values and morals and rules. And I think a lot of, you know, kids and even just families, there are a lot of families that are not wearing a balanced perspective. You know, there should be no sense of entitlement. You know, it's about respect and, you know, respecting yourself, respecting others. You know, so just getting back to the topic tonight, American families, the new normal. I think we've come to the conclusion that there is no normal. For me, you know, family is about love and trust and protection. You know, that should exist within a family. And, you know, I am of the mindset that when people don't get that in a traditional situation, they will go and create their own. And so,
right.
You know, who are we, you know, to look down on or judge or shun where people are getting their love, their support, their trust, and their protection from. Again,
mm-hmm.
What's the difference between a relative and a family member? I think a relative is connected to you via your bloodline, but sometimes your relative can treat you worse than people on the street. And so what
right.
do you do? You establish family member-type relationships with those that treat you that way.
Right.
Miss Titania Lamb, we appreciate you for hanging out with us for
definitely.
All this time. How can we find out more information about the Academy, and how can we sign mentors up for the Tampa Bay Academy of Hope?
You can go to the website, which is www.tampahope.org. There are applications. They're on the website along with our phone number. You're welcome to call our offices. Anyone there will help you. Or you can fax in an application. Again, the applications are online at the website at www.tampahope.org.
What would you like to leave us with tonight, Ms. Lamb? The one thing that I think Pastor Michael said, and I just want to point this out, I think often we think, you know, just because people didn't have their dad or their mom in their life, it's automatically assumed that cycle is going to continue.
Right.
You know, Pastor Michael, before he left, he said his dad, you know, was incarcerated, you know, drug dealer. He wasn't there. He was raised by his grandmother for the most part. But he still, when he had kids, he became a nurturing father. You know, he broke a cycle that was something that he did consciously himself. So it is about an individual situation. You don't have to be a part of a cycle. What advice do you have, not just for families, but specifically because you have several different programs, what advice do you have for families and dads as we wind the show down tonight?
I heard Pastor Michael say that he had been raised in his grandparents' home. And
that's
so
correct.
I think, okay, so I think that he still learned the nurturing skills necessary because he had a nuclear family. In the minority communities, of course, our nuclear family tends to include extended family members. So I believe that as a community, so we have to get out, volunteer, and serve because we see that our kids are suffering. So for those parents who are in need, take a parenting class. Learn how to nurture your child. Learn how to parent your child. Encourage the students to take the time out to mentor, give back. I've heard stories from different ones who didn't have fathers growing up that someone came into their life and helped them along the way, help them in some kind of way that makes, because it's very difficult for a child who has no nurturing to come out of it okay. That is an extreme rarity. So someone along the way helped you make a step, helped someone make a step. And so I think that we have to get up and say, okay, let me help the next person along the way. So my advice is simply to get involved in your community. Get involved. If you're a parent, get involved with your students. Learn how to advocate for your student when they're at school. Make sure that you are available to them in one way or another, so that they know that you are there. If you don't know how to do it, then reach out to someone else and ask them to help you along the way.
It starts with getting involved, everybody. Get involved. Mentor with the Tampa Bay Academy of Hope if you are in the Hillsborough County, Tampa, Florida area. The website one more time.
www.tampahope.org.
Mentor today. I mean, we'll be right back. Thank you, Ms. Lamb. We'll be right back. It's 1047. Jay Styles. Reach again.
TM Hyman Radio Live. That was Jay Styles. Breathe Again. We got less than 9 minutes left in the show. You've been rocking with us on our Monday night. We've had Miss Titania Lamb join us this evening. If you missed it, you can definitely check out the podcast. And we also had Pastor Mike Williams on with us tonight. I really enjoyed the conversation.
Hey, check us back out on a Wednesday, 9 p.m., and we will do it all over again. Hey, we're back. You were missing Domare tonight, but she will be back with us on Wednesday. Again, Ms. Lamb, we appreciate you for hanging out with us, and we will continue to pound the pavement for mentors for the Tampa Bay Academy role.
Thank you. I enjoyed it.
Hey, we were talking earlier, and you didn't respond, but we were talking about being beat when we were a kid and the fact that it was deemed child abuse. Were you beat as a child? Were you abused?
I was not abused. I did get many a spanking. I learned early on that the louder I cried, the less I would get spanked, so.
I know
that. No, look, I was explaining to them that that the doctor in one of the nurturing parenting classes said you said spanked, so if you were spanked, you were in fact abused as a child.
Right. I say spanked because I don't like the word beat, because beat means to me that it was an abusive nature. One of the things the doctor said was that people remembered certain beatings that they got because
right.
It was...
It scarred them. It was
it
trauma.
Scarred
he said it was
them,
trauma.
Right.
It was
and
trauma
I
to
said
them.
To him, I said, no, I got many of spankings, but I don't think I remember anyone particularly outstanding to me because I didn't feel like I was scarred for life. So in fact, they kept referring to the beatings as violence. So
right.
Violence to me is something intentional and meant to harm you. I don't think that's
correct.
What our parents intended.
Right.
No,
but
I totally
think it comes down to cultural things as well because, you
right.
know, I honestly, growing up, I thought that white children didn't get beat. I just really didn't. I'd never really seen it happen. But I knew my friends got beatings, and I knew I did, or spankings, or, you know, go get a switch.
Right.
I know a lot of people who know how to cut a switch.
Well, we tended to be, you know, I heard my white friends cursing at their parents, so I was a little taken aback.
Right. Well, you can do that.
Yes. No, people did that.
Right. No, you could do that
right.
And you still have your teeth? What?
Well, I think it was an awesome conversation tonight, and if we have done nothing else, hopefully we have provided some perspective on the fact that whether it is an extended family, a nuclear family, a single-parent family, you know, a blended family or a gay family, you know, as long as you are receiving the love and I think the protection that you need in order to develop and grow and be successful, guess what? That's the family that you're supposed to be in. It is not about judgment. It is not about, you know, comparing, you know, yourself to someone else. It's really about an individual getting what they need to become a productive citizen. What is the new normal? It's whatever works for you and your situation. Understand that a nurturing family is what we all should be seeking to be a part of. For a nurturing family helps us to become all that we can be. And clearly, just because someone is a family member or a relative, I'll say, just because someone is a relative doesn't mean that they're a good family member. Again, want to thank our special guest tonight, Ms. Titania Lamb, Tampa Bay Academy of Hope, and Pastor Michael Williams, Michael L. Williams Ministries, CeeLo, live out of Charlotte, Toya,
yeah.
Live out of Newark, Delaware tonight. I'm coming to you live out of Tampa. We're back on Wednesday, 9 p.m., and again on Friday, 9 p.m. Folks, you do not understand what it takes to pull this off, but we appreciate your support. 27
homes all over the world. We appreciate the love, everybody. It's 10:57. We're about to wind it down. Back Wednesday, 9 p.m., you don't want to miss it. CeeLo, take us home.
Well, yes. Well, thank you for joining us. And if you missed it, you can check the podcast out in about 20 minutes. Again, thank you for the guests that join us. And whatever you do, do it well. And we will see you on Wednesday evening. Thank
you, baby. My chick bad. My chick good. My chick do stuff that your chick wish she could. My chick bad. My chick good. My chick do stuff that your chick wish she could. My chick bad. Very, very danger. My chick bad. Very, very danger. My chick bad. Very, very danger. My chick bad. Very, very danger.
I'm saying my chick bad. My chick hood. My chick do stuff that your chick wish she could. My chick bad, badder than yours. My chick do stuff that I can't even put in words. Her swagger don't stop, her body won't quit. So pull pipe down, you ain't talking about shit. My chick bad, tell me if you seen her. She always bring the racket like Venus and Serena. All white top, all white belt, and all white jeans, body looking like milk. No time for games, she's full grown. My chick bad, tell your chick to go home.
My chick bad. My chick hood, my chick do stuff that your chick wish you could. My chick bad. My chick hood, my chick do stuff that your chick wish you could. My chick bad, very very danger. My chick bad, very very danger. My chick bad, very very danger. My chick bad, very very danger.
Now your girl might be sick, but my girl's sicker. She rides that dick and she handles her liquor. I'll knock a bitch out and fight. Coming out swinging like Tiger Woods' wife. Yeah, she could get a little hasty.
DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. DM Hyman Live Talk Radio Show. Live Talk Radio Show. Talk radio show, talk radio show, talk radio show, talk radio show, talk radio show. DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, DM Hyman Live, talk radio show, talk radio show, talk radio show, real talk.
Live, DM Hyman Live, talk radio show. DM Hyman Live, DM.